changes. It's not about being comfortable, but it's about you and I being in the move of the Holy Spirit. That's where the church needs to be, in the move of the Holy Spirit. Not in programs, but in the move of the Holy Spirit. And today I want to start on a topic: baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have heard this before because we started some of it in Romania, but as I've been spending more time on it, the Lord's just been opening more things to us. And so we need to spend that time, and we need to prepare ourselves that we, as individuals and part of the Church of Jesus Christ, will be effective in missions work, will be effective on the streets, will be effective in the church itself here, and that wherever we go, we shall be accompanied with signs, wonders, miracles, prophetic words, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of revelation. And some of you are looking at me now and saying, what on earth is he on about? He's scaring me half to death. This is the lifestyle of a disciple. Okay? This is the lifestyle of a disciple, not the one that you might be living now in comfort and taking your ease. Jesus said, go. Amen. Go. Amen? Amen? Let's look at our first scripture in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. Now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have we all repented? Yeah? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now we can move on. So let's move on to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And John says this, as for me, I baptize you in water for repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now I know that when we go into the book of Acts, we read that at the day of Pentecost, the disciples were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it says tongues of fire was shown upon the head. Well, let me tell you this, it's not just on your head that you need the tongues of fire, it's in your belly that you need the tongues of fire. In your very spirit, you need tongues of fire. Amen. That will equip you and make you effective for the work of the kingdom and for the days to come. Let's turn into Acts chapter 1. You hear some people say that, well, the gifts of the Spirit are not relevant to today. Signs and wonders and healings and miracles are not for today. We don't believe in that. Well, you're just taking out a major part of Jesus Christ's ministry. He went about doing good. He went about healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. If it's his lifestyle and Christ is in me, then guess what? I think Christ still wants to be moving around this world today in hundreds of thousands and millions of people doing exactly the same thing. Can I get an amen on that? Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Wow. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Why don't we take that as a promise for 2019? That we shall be baptized afresh and anew in the Holy Spirit for 2019, that we will be equipped, made ready to do the work of the Master's bidding. Because that's what it's there for. It's to equip you to do the work of the Master's command. When he said go. When he said go. Into all the world. And preach the gospel. There's a promise. The promise of the Father to give the power of the kingdom to the disciples. The promise of the Father is to give the power of the kingdom of God to the disciples. Wow. God wants to entrust his disciples with the power of the kingdom of God. Oh, I don't believe that, Andrew. Really? It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. The disciples, they tarried, they waited. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire, distributing themselves and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with new tongues. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, now they were living in Jerusalem, we know the story, and they're living in Jerusalem. There was hundreds of people had come to Jerusalem, if not thousands, from different nations, different languages, and suddenly these 120 disciples went out and began to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for our sins, for our sicknesses, for our diseases, and has come to set us free and to join us back to our Heavenly Father, our Creator, the one who loved us and died for us. Amen. How did all of this come about? I know it's a promise from God. And each and every one of us has promises from God. And sometimes it seems that that promise appears to be dying. Hello? Come on, let's be real. You know, we're all full of faith, but tell you what, there's doubt sneaks in now and again. Yeah? Doubt and a bit of unbelief, and it's nibbling at your feet. It's sat like two little dogs, you know, and you just, you know, clear off. And leave me alone. You know, the story of being in this building just a year or two, well, a year before maybe, that we were began to, that the Lord brought this building into being for us, I had doubts. I had doubts on the promise. I had doubts that maybe we'd misheard this one. And you know, guess what? I told the Lord about it. He's not fazed. You see, the thing is, he already knows what you're thinking. So you might as well voice them to him. You know, let him know that you know he knows what you're thinking. You might as well just voice it down and say, hey Lord, you know what I'm thinking. You see, you're beginning a conversation with him. And he says, yeah, I know what you're thinking. But I'm going to show you that I am faithful to my promise. How are you going to do it, God? Watch. Wait. The disciples were told, wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait. Who likes waiting? I got that one all right, didn't I? We don't. We see a line, we see a queue, and you're in the supermarket. What are you doing? You think, you know, all the checkouts, you're looking. Where's the shortest line? Huh? Come on! You don't like queuing, do you? Where's the short? You're in the bank. Now they've stopped you though in the bank. You know, they just have one line, don't they? You know, you think, oh, come on, you know. Oh. Just don't want to wait, do we? Where are we rushing to? Who knows? I was on the motorway the other day. I was chatting to Grace on the phone, hands-free by the way, just for anybody who's listening. It was dark and in the distance I could see loads and loads of brake lights coming on. And I went, oh, no. I'm like saying to her, I'll be home in 30 minutes. And I went, no. But thank God, all of a sudden, there was a junction just before. And I thought, I know where I am. So I pulled off at this junction. I wasn't going to wait in no traffic jam. I was going to find another way. You know? Don't we? We're going to find another way. In God, there's only one way. In God, there's only one way. It's His way, not your way. Hey God, can't we do it this way? No, we're going to do it my way, God says. There's only one way in God. There's only one way through to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. See, God does not do many ways, right? In spite of what people try and say. You know, these multi-faith leaders, you know, there's many ways to God. No, there's not. The Word of God says there's one way to God, and that is through the death and resurrection and life of Jesus Christ. There isn't another way. The Word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. We're off subject, but that'll do for a gospel message to somebody. You need to come to Jesus.
Amen.
You need to have Jesus in the center of your life.
Amen.
When you make him the very center of your life,
yes,
then things will change.
Yes.
The powers of darkness will bow the knee.
Amen.
You'll see God moving in power and in might,
yes,
in your own life. Let's move to Acts chapter 1. And verse 14. Let's just move back a second to that. Because this is a key for us to move together in the things of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. I'll tell you what, we'll do 13 first. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they had been staying. That is Peter and John, James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all were with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What were they doing together?
Praying.
They were continually praying together. Continually praying together. And it was through that time that they spent together, 40 days, praying together, that then the Holy Spirit was given. And the power of God came upon those 120 disciples. You see why? They followed the instructions of the Lord Jesus. They followed the instructions of the Lord Jesus. And we need to listen to what God is saying to us. And we need to learn to follow what the Word of God is showing us and what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us.
Yes.
Following Jesus.
Yes.
So for us as individuals, some of us will have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll have spoken in tongues. We may at times prophesy. We may have a measure of moving in some forms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but would you like more?
Yes.
That's good. I like people who are hungry. You know, when you do a meal and people come and say, oh, I'm not really hungry. And you think, I've spent all this time on this.
Yes.
And you're not hungry? You know, you feel a bit let down, don't you? Which of us has ever gone to a physical meal and said, that is the best meal that I've ever had, I am never going to eat anything else again? It's not going to happen, is it? Because I'll guarantee you, within less than 24 hours, something starts a rumbling. You know, there's a hunger and a thirsting again. So should it be with the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
Well, it tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
But guess what? You've only tasted.
Yeah.
You've not yet partaken. You have to grasp all and partake of the fullness of the blessings of God. Some people get content with just a little bit. Oh, I'll just have a little bit of this, and I'll just have a little bit of that, and that's enough. Well, let me tell you, in God it's not enough. There should be within each and every one of us a hungering and a thirsting for more and more of God. Because in that hungering and that thirsting for more and more of God, you and I are then equipped. You are empowered by the Spirit of God to go out and do signs, wonders and miracles. Sukrash and Esther in a week on Sunday, well, a week on Monday are flying out to Nepal. Wouldn't it be great to see them empowered with more of the Holy Spirit? And as they go out, they're touching lives, and people say, whoa, what is it about you two that they are carrying within their very life, their very presence, the very power of a holy God? And people are falling down before us and saying, tell us who this Jesus is. Tell us who this Jesus is. We need this Jesus. We want what you have got. And you know, you and I, people need to be looking at us and saying, I want what you've got. There's something that you've got. I want it. Young people need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Pranil needs to be filled with the power of God. It makes him bold, anointed, and precious and powerful. People look at him and go for advice because the knowledge and the revelation and the wisdom of God resides within him. This is what it should be about. Christianity is not for a quiet lifestyle. Christianity is being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, where we are equipped to pull down. To pull down the strongholds of the enemy. To press in with an anointing that sets the captives free. You're called to be warriors. You're called to come and set captives free. Not to be comfortable. A true warrior, he's only comfortable and happy when he's setting captives free. We're freedom fighters of the gospel. We're warriors. We come to break chains. We've come to release captives from the death sentence of eternity. You're saved to do that. You're called to do that. And you should be being equipped to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, as we begin to come together, as we will come together with an effort. It's good. Do you know it takes effort to pray? You can guarantee when we say we're going to have a prayer meeting, it's the lowest attended meeting, we can guarantee that when we have a prayer meeting, as soon as we start praying, your mind starts thinking about something else. Did I turn the gas off? Did I turn the light out? I wonder what so-and-so's doing. And your mind starts to wonder. Rather than pray. Well, there's an easy way around that one. Firstly, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, okay, great. Start speaking in tongues. You don't have to think. And you take captive every thought. You see, the Bible says, take captive every thought. So when you start to pray, your thoughts start being drawn onto something else. Oh, what am I doing tomorrow? Yeah, I need to get this ready for tomorrow. No. Take captive. Set that time on one side. Because this is warrior time. This is power time. This is time when we set captives free. This is time when we break the power of the enemy over our lives, over the church, over the area, and we begin to punch holes in the devil's defenses and attacks against us. As we pray and we read and quote the Word of God, we're launching missiles, spiritual missiles, that will begin to penetrate the darkness that seems to sit over our nation. We have to break the darkness. Some of you might say, well, why don't Jesus do it? Well, I'll tell you this. He's done everything he's going to do about the devil. He's done everything he is going to do about the devil. And that was simply at the cross. He defeated him. And we have to get into our own mindset, into our own hearts and our own measure of understanding that the devil is defeated. And that we now have to take our rightful authority in Christ Jesus against the devil. Begin to move in that realm. Begin to exercise. Begin to use it. Well, I've never done it before, Andrew. Well, that's okay. We'll do it together. We'll do it together. But we can only do it together when we get together. Hello? We can only do it together when we get together. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, you two, go out. And he sent them out two by two. They were together. Paul and Silas picked men and women to go with them on mission trips. Come on, you're coming with me on a mission trip. We're going to do this together. Because each would learn from each other. Each would have differing gifts, differing anointings. Some of us have a natural tendency to preach audibly, stand at the front and do it. Others are scared witless. But yet on a one-to-one, they're like a hot knife through butter. Powerful. And yet maybe the person who's doing the up front is not really good at the one-to-ones. Yeah, come on. We're all different. We're all called to different points of ministry. But there's one thing that we're all called to do. We're all called to pray. We're all called to pray. Amen? Every one of us. And we will not change this area unless we pray together. And we mount an assault on the area. Flintwood's here with us today. And together, we want to pray together with Flintwood Methodist Church. Because together, we want to mount a strategic assault on this area to destroy the powers of darkness. You see, when we take people captive for Jesus, we won't have enough room. Flintwood won't have enough room. We won't have enough room. We'll end up having to go to more services on a Sunday. And fantastic. Great. And you might say, well, Andrew, not many people's coming now. No. But I have to believe the promise. I have to believe the promise. I have to believe the power of the Word of God. If I don't, then there's no point in me being here. We need to come to a place where our prayers together cause the kingdom of darkness and every spiritual force that is anti-God, that it will bow its knees to the name of Jesus Christ. That on our lips shall be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as a swear word, but as a word that is filled with power. filled with authority. But first of all, you and I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of you might say, well, I've only spoken in tongues once. Well, that's once, that's great. But the Bible says, stir up. Stir up. Come on. Stir up what you've had. Stir it up. Come on, stir it up. Hallelujah. Kiba baba bada gushukuri and dana mama gasenda baga shila mama randa gaya. Stir it up. Stir it up within you. Begin to release the presence of the power of God in your life. That it will change the lives of others around you. That it will come like a hammer that will smash through the powers of darkness. You know, I honestly believe that if the words of the prophet, where it says, and I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, where the words of the prophet says that there shall be not just the former rain, but there shall be a latter rain, it shall be a double pour outpouring from God. These promises are true. These prophets were not liars. They were prophets of the living God. And they spoke truth. And if we are to see that in our day and in our generation, and if we are to see our nation change so that the children that are being brought up have a better place to live in, think of the children. You, some of you might be grey-haired and think, well, I don't have long. It doesn't really matter for me. Think of the children. Think of the children for the future. Or are you going to let this nation go to hell on a fast ride? Or are you going to stand in the gap and say, no, this is not happening on my watch. This is not happening on my watch. I will not stand before God and be held responsible for what is going on now, because I will stand my ground. I will stand against the powers of darkness. I will stand against what is going on in our nation that is anti-God. And I will stand for the truth, because I know this, that when I stand before my Heavenly Father, I will be gladly to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Because I made a decision to stand. And when you've done everything, the Bible says, stand. In Ephesians 4:6, stand. We have to stand. You're not standing just for yourself, but you're standing for your family, you're standing for your family's family, you're standing for the nations. That Almighty God and the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit would begin to move in their lives. And the Holy Spirit has come to equip us, to give us that power and that authority, that we might stand. And not stand in weakness, but stand in strength. We're called to stand in strength. The church should not be weak. The church should be a powerful source in our nation. When we let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit flow through us, we are empowered. There is a holy boldness that comes upon us through the flowing of the Holy Spirit. And we can stand and we can be witnesses and we can be lights to our nation. But we need to pray together. And it's in that praying together, as we take hold of God, as we take hold of the power and the presence of God, and we reach out and as we call unto God, that there'll be a shaking in the area. I believe it's all part of God's last great and final plan, that in the last days there shall be a mighty, 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 mighty harvest. These shall be days of victory. These shall be days of triumph. These shall be days of power and days of miracles. There should be and will be a great outpouring, but it hinges on prayer. It doesn't even hinge on preaching. It won't hinge on great preachers. It will hinge on prayer. Billy Graham, great evangelist. All the preparation work, I was involved in two Billy Graham crusades. The preparation work was focused on prayer, 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 and prayer. Reinhard Bonnke, all of his preparation work for a rich harvest in a revival in all the nations that he went to. All of it he sent before him. He sent out men and women before him to do prayer, prayer, prayer. They were out there a month, 6 weeks before. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Preparing the ground, turning the ground over, dealing with principalities and powers, establishing the power of God in that area. And then he came in, and then thousands were led to the Lord. Miracles were being done at the mighty name of Jesus. And this, it should be the same today, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we need to start to pray, because prayer is what is going to change things, and prayer in the Holy Spirit. I will get to where I'm going in the things of the Spirit, but I'm preparing you for prayer. Because if we want a filling of the Holy Spirit, we need some prayer. We need to get together and pray. And I don't care what language you're praying, because it's not me who's listening to you, but God Himself. I don't release the power. He's the one who releases the power. So He's listening for your voice. He's listening for your tongue. He's listening for your heartbeat. Do you want this or not? Paul said this: for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whichever way, whatever's going to happen, guess what? We win. We win. And all I want to say to you for today: for me to live is Christ, to die will be gain. We need to be living as the winners. We need to be the warriors that are pressing through. We need to be leading the pack.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We need an outpouring of His power and His anointing.
Yeah.
And without that,
yeah,
we're just vessels of sounding brass,
yeah,
clanging cymbals. Acts chapter 2, verses 17. Even Peter quotes that verse, those verses of Scripture from the Old Testament. Verse 17 of Acts chapter 2, and it shall be in the last days, God says. He didn't say Peter says. He didn't say Andrew said it. He said God said it. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will grant grant wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth beneath. God is a God of promise. God is a God with a purpose. And he sent Jesus with one purpose: to die for you, to die for me, to set me free, to set you free from the captivity of sin. And for every house that is outside and around in this area, Jesus died for every one of those, to set them free, to deliver them from the prince of darkness, to deliver them from the eternal damnation. But Jesus is not here. He sat at the right hand of his Father. But he commissioned, Charles will understand that, he commissioned every disciple to go in his name and to do the work of the Father. Set captives free, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And you might turn and say, "Oh, Andrew, that's a big one. I've never done that before." Well, that's great, because there's always a first time for something. When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you did something for the first time? Oh, it's a risk. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, faith. It's spelled R-I-S-K. Risk. Shall I get out of the boat or shall I stay inside? Everybody else says stay. What am I going to do? Am I going to get out? Or I know water doesn't hold anything solid. I know that if I step in that water, I'm going down, 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 down. I know Jesus appears to be walking on the water, but hey, that's Jesus, that's not me. The very Christ is in you. The very Christ is in you. Peter said, "I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to stand on the word of God." And as he stood on that word of God, he walked to Jesus. And then everybody preaches on, well, he began to sing. You know, he started to sing, didn't he? Took his eyes off Jesus. But the moment Jesus got his attention again, and nobody preaches this, but they walked back to the boat. Come on. You get your eyes on Jesus. You get a hold of Jesus and you will walk back to the boat. You will walk on the water. You will triumph over the situation. You will triumph over the circumstances because you fix your eyes upon Jesus. You fix your eyes upon the Word of God and you will triumph. And that is the power of the Spirit that causes us to triumph. It is the power of the Word of God that causes us to triumph in every circumstance and every situation. But we need to have more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need more of the empowering move of the precious Holy Spirit in our lives. And we shall see lives changed. We shall see lives set free and delivered. And as I read this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18, I'll ask you a question. Who would not want to be part of that? Who would not want to be part of that happening? I want to be in it. I want to be in it as deep as I can get into it. I want to be in the center of it. I want to be there when it all happens. When you start to read the book of the Acts, this is the awakening of the church. This is the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. It's the beginning. It's not the end. And so this, as this work of in Acts started, we need to realize that just as it is in this book, so should we be living.
Amen.
So should we be living today.
Yeah.
I lay before you a challenge. I lay before you a challenge. Are we going to live like an Acts church? Are we going to live like a New Testament church? And not by a church that imitates the world, but a church that follows the Lord Jesus Christ, a church that follows the Holy Spirit, a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that will see signs, wonders, and miracles. I challenge you to that today. But we will only come to that as we come together and we pray together and we press into God together.
Amen.
If we'll do that, we will see God move in power.
Yeah.
And as we do that together we will be corporately empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Together, jointly, we will be filled with more of the Spirit of God. And together, we will gain confidence. Because we will support one another in the ministry. That's why Jesus took teams out, sent them out in teams, and sent them out two by two to support one another in ministry. When one is weak, the other is strong. When one's not sure, the other one's got the answer. Together they know. God never made us to exist on our own. Never created the church to exist alone. We're called to be separate to the world. We're called to be different. And I just want to encourage, I'm going to stop there actually today, because there needs to be an awakening in the church. Who is the church? We are. So there needs to be an awakening in us, in me. Say it, Lord Jesus, there needs to be an awakening in my life. Lord Jesus, stir up in me a desire to be awakened to the moving of the Holy Spirit, and to trust you. Lord, let there be a desire in our lives, Father. Holy Spirit, just begin to move amongst us. Holy Spirit, we just give you legal right to move through this body of believers. Move over us. Speak to us. Challenge us. And in your challenging, equip us for works of service. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.